speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We've been discussing this week the Christian warfare. Nothing more important perhaps could be discussed than this. We have learned that we have to enlist in order to fight the good fight of faith, that enlisting entails believing the gospel and repenting of our sins and making the good confession with our mouth before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then being buried with our Lord in baptism in order that we may wash away all of our former sins. The Lord says, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever." So we as Christians then are ready to go forth as we take on the armor of God in the fight, the good fight of faith. Perhaps we may falter at times, and when we do, we need to turn back. We have that privilege, you know, as Christians. 1 John 1:7, he said, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's not written to alien sinners, my friends. That's written to Christians. And he said, "If we confess our sins," verse 9, "he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, the rewarded soldier is ultimately grateful for those who encourage his obedience and his fight as the Lord's soldier. That is, in the spirit of the bride. Revelation 22:17, that spirit and bride say, "Come." And perhaps a member of his own family or a devoted friend may be the one who encouraged him as a soldier in the most. You know, he remembers those who loved him enough to bear his burden. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." But then also, there are burdens that we, of human responsibility, personally must take care of. And therefore, Galatians 6:5 says, "Bear your own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden." And even the fellow soldier who is converted as a sinner to the Lord, him perhaps from the error of his way, and he saves his soul from death, James 5:19-20, he looks forward to being reunited with those special brethren whom he has loved in the Lord, who have now passed on to their reward. Whereas the memory of the faithful soldier will greatly enhance his capacity to enjoy heaven, the memory of the one person who refused to enlist in the Lord's army and to be faithful, but was rather cowardly, unfaithful, compromising, it'll be haunting, won't it? Unrelenting, persecuting, and indescribably sad for the one who wakes up in the torments of Hades and hell. Second, all of God's faithful soldiers will share in the victory. "We shall reap if we faint not," Paul said in Galatians 6:9. Traitors shall not enjoy the reward. Those who assist the enemy shall themselves be destroyed. John 12:42 and Acts 1:16-25. They shall go to their own place just like Judas did. You know, those who sell out are no better than Esau, are they? Esau profaned his birthright. There's some Benedict Arnolds, there's some Judas Iscariots, there's some Esaus in the church, unfortunately. And there are some cowardly types, lawless ones, who shoot the brave, the courageous, the frontline soldiers. They shoot them in the back when they ought to be up there standing beside them in the warfare of faith. However, faithful soldiers realize very keenly that the battle is not over until the war has won. And we're not mustered out until death, are we? Revelation 2:10. We just cannot retire from being a Christian. But then, yes then, we shall share the greatest victory celebration ever known. We do not have to abide on earth until the last battle is fought and the smoke clears. Christ shall prevail, though we know. We shall be on the conquering side. And then will the unadulterated joy be ours. And all of God's soldiers will be present with their laurels and with their garlands, won't they? Unlike in physical victories mixed with tears because some of the brave soldiers were slain in battle, every faithful, loyal soldier will be celebrating the victory in heaven. Therein is great comfort, isn't it? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. You know, the Lord never lost a battle, and he shall take care of his own. And if we're with him, we won't lose the battle either. The reunion at that day shall be marvelous indeed. Recent days have seen 50-year reunions of the soldiers who fought and were victorious in World War II. But there were thoughts and prayers uttered with respect to those courageous soldiers who gave their life blood for freedom. Yes, we live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. And at the heavenly reunion, there shall be those who are also, those who sacrifice themselves also. Not just for one faithful soldier, there's not one that will be missing from his place around God's throne, and all will be honored. That's so much greater, isn't it, than what we have in this life. But then again, the faithful shall go home. You see, the beautiful place called heaven, that actual reality twice is called a place in John 14, 1 through 3. It's not just an imagination. It's just not pie in the sky. But it's a real place. It is the eternal home of the soul. And so welcomed by the soldier of Christ as he goes to the close of his life. Wars are not generally fought at home. And soldiers get homesick, don't they? Home, sweet home, has graced many weary lips. When his life neared its close, Paul longed for home. He said, I'm already being offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. But I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not unto me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Faithful Abraham saw that heavenly city through the eye of faith, and he did as all older soldiers have done. He looked forward through faith to that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, how this world would become tarnished if we could envision the heavenly portals and our mansions over there. We would fight more courageously, I suppose, would we not? Then again, the weary soldier shall find rest in heaven. He's very weary here. Oftentimes, he has fought until the weariness comes upon him, and even Christ and Paul became weary at times. The flesh is weak. It becomes tired. It has its limitations. But up there, where flesh and blood cannot enter, we will never become weary of praising the Father around his throne and continually serving him. For whom is this place for of rest made? Well, it's for the diligent, dedicated, active, working soldier, according to Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. You know, the enduring soldier shall receive the crown of life. Paul looked forward to that day, the day of the Lord's second coming, when all the faithful shall receive their crowns. The winning competitor received a garland in the races of old, at that Greek national life of race, but we find the Christian's crown is one of righteousness, the reward of righteousness. It is the symbol of worthiness, awarded at the judgment by the righteous judge. The faithful will not go unrewarded. Revelation 14:13 says, I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow after them. So it is the crown, the victory crown, awaiting those who sacrifice to feed the hungry, or whose feet and bodies ache and grow weary as they carry the gospel to their neighbors and to the whole world, whose minds grow tired from constant study and writing to enable others to hear the word of God, whose spirits sometimes are hurt by the lashing, cutting tongues of the very brethren and friends whom they're trying to lead home to glory. You know, the eternal treasures in heaven far exceed the weariness and the pain that we may have experienced here, don't they? Fellow soldiers, just think of when you shall shine on the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many of righteousness, or they that turn many to righteousness, shall shine as the stars forever and forever, says Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3. Now just think of the rest in Abraham's bosom. What a wonderful rest it is. When we shall receive that abundant entrance, as Peter says, into that heavenly rest, that eternal rest. And we read of that crown that we shall receive in 1 Peter 5:4 and 1 Corinthians 9:25. But then again, the rewarded soldier will rejoice that he's influenced others to receive the crown. Listen to Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. How many will be there because of you and me, dear friend? What a joy it will be to see our families, our neighbors, and others whom we have influenced through our teaching and through our lives in some way to be faithful soldiers of the captain How many are those in physical battles who have seen the brave, stalwart soldiers going into the heat of battle, storming the bulwarks of the enemy, carrying the ensign and the planting it, and then, of course, they themselves receive strength for the battle. You can lead someone into battle, my friends. You have influence that I may not have or any others may have. Others will follow, and you will rejoice eternally that you gave them the strength, the encouragement, and especially those of your own family. We shall see the Lord in that day. I remember hearing a friend who served under the great General George Patton. He spoke very proudly of being once in his presence. In fact, he took a picture of him of this gifted, brave warrior and leader, developed two copies of the picture, one of which he presented to the general, and the other of which General Patton autographed. Greater to me than that is to have and to be privileged to be in the presence of great sacrificial soldiers of the cross. But our hearts long for the time when we shall see the Lord face to face. Nothing can compare with that. Christ, the Savior, hung upon the cross, shall then be the Savior throughout all of eternity, to whom we owe so much. The Lord, whom we faithfully serve, our High Priest, through whom we approach the Father, and the Man of Sorrows, who took our stripes and healed us, and God-man, who reconciled us unto God as our Savior, the Captain who leads us to battle and promises the crown. My friends, are you a child of God? Have you done those things which is necessary to enter the army? If not, do so today. Been a pleasure to be with you. We hope to see you on the Lord's Day. But until then, we now bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.